Welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. This podcast is for self-employed business owners just like you, who really want to grow their business and become successful and profitable, but without all the stress and hassle. I want to share my 30 years of business experience to show you how simple it can be to earn more money and how you can get organized without needing a business degree or any other qualifications. I'll be talking about the easy steps that you can put in place right now to start earning more money today and to help you get the business that you deserve and dream of. Without further ado, let's get started. This week's podcast is sponsored by Pocket PA, helping self-employed business owners to get organized, understand their finances, and do their accounts all in one place using a powerful online tool. If you're serious about making a profit and having a successful business, then using a simple digital web app like Pocket PA is the best way to grow and scale your business. Visit pocketpa.com for more details and start managing your money like a pro today. Hello and welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. Today, we're talking about relationships in business and in particular, relationships with your family and how their points of view and opinions can really have an effect on your business. I've got the wonderful Renee and Megan, who've both been on a previous episode sharing their self-employed journey, and they are the perfect people to have a chat with about family relationships in business because they actually lived together with their own families and they did through COVID and lockdown and they survived. They're still best friends and business partners, so I know that they're going to have some tips to share on this delicate matter. Hopefully they can share some of their tips and tricks that we can all put into action today to ensure that we've got less stress around family dynamics in our day-to-day environment. So with that in mind, let's dive headfirst into this topic. Thanks for joining us, Megan and Renee. So how can our listeners navigate their family with all their various opinions about their business so that they don't fall out and then they can keep separate boundaries around these two things? I know this is a really delicate subject.
Yeah, it is. Totally. I think like the first step that you should be taking is, it's not about compartmentalizing everybody, but it's understanding who you can talk to and who you can't. Mm-hmm. Some people just aren't going to want to hear it or will have nice things to say. And it's okay to set the boundary with that, that topic of conversation isn't done with them. You can limit time. So you're not going out, let's say with like, if it's like a friend that's like weekly lunches, things like that, you can limit your time. You can limit the type of conversation. You can have them in, or like you could put them in like a little bit of a safe container for yourself. When it comes to basic offhand comments, what I like to do is every time I feel like a bad comment that I don't agree with or that there's a trigger, the first thing I do is like go inward and I'm like, okay, like I'm noticing this right now. So it's like, I notice that there's like unease or that I'm upset about something. And when I notice that, that's when I'll start asking myself what was said or what was done that actually triggered me in that. And then I will ask myself like what's true and what's not. So this is very much for like mindset. So it's like everybody has, I don't say everybody, I'm overgeneralizing, but it's like how many of us quit a corporate job to start our own business and then our parents or a friend going like, oh, are you sure?
Is that a good idea?
I don't know if that's a good idea. But what's happening is their responses, this is where you can take like the taking it personally out, is their response is done out of fear for you. Their response is because they're concerned and they know what's true for them, which is having your own business is hard, or having your own business is a struggle for the first five years, or that a certain percentage of businesses shut down in the first year. That's what they're seeing. And they want the best for you. And so without it taking it personally, because it's not that they don't think that you can't do it, they're scared for you for failure because they don't want to see you hurt.
I think that's really true, because I think when you have this amazing idea and you want to start a business, it may be that you come from a family. Certainly in my family, nobody else has ever been self-employed. My father, he was a pilot in the RAF. My mum, had employed roles and neither of them had ever worked for themselves. And I have a sister who's an accountant, a brother who was in the police force, another sister who was amazing in sales and had an employed role always. So nobody in my family had ever thought about becoming self-employed, having their own business. And it just seemed completely, you know, that's what other people do. And so it didn't feel as if they were even perhaps qualified to be able to, you know, give a measured opinion as to my own business and, you know, what their opinions were would be relevant, because they hadn't got any background or experience. And I certainly know other friends as well, when I was thinking about doing it, they were great cheerleaders and, you know, they perhaps had have their own business or whatever. So they had some experience and, you know, it seems a very exciting thing to start your own business, but people are often talking from their own perspective of fear when they do that. And you're absolutely right that they're wanting to protect you and they don't have that background. They hear the statistics on the news that, you know, one in three businesses fail or people don't get past the X number of years. And perhaps they've seen other people working in business where they've swapped a 40-hour employed work week for an 80-hour work week when you are self-employed. And, you know, there are a lot of stresses and strains and, you know, people hear people down the pub talking about, oh my God, you know, cash flow problems and all those sorts of things. So yeah. And so there is a lot of sort of negative publicity about people, you know, when you're not talking from the inside out. So I think that you're absolutely right that people's fear-based concerns come towards you when you're talking about your self-employed business. And they may be talking from a place as well where they don't have any actual real experience. So that might be something as well. Is that something that you've had when you've been asking other people?
Oh yeah. Cause neither of our families are necessarily like super supportive. Our families want us to be successful and happy, but it's like, I don't think my family has any idea what I do whatsoever and are not supportive. And I think it's like, what we're all really looking for is like the permission and like the support so that we can be successful in like this new safe, like environment with things. But I don't think it's important to know that like a successful business is not dependent on family support. And like when people have that input and when they have those comments back, being able to like see it, like Renee said, from that like place of love and being like, okay, great. Like, thanks for your comment. And then flip the conversation back on them. How are you doing? What are your holiday plans? If you feel uncomfortable, like being able to talk about having it, because it's like, you don't want to have a conversation with your uncle about self-employed business and the struggles that come with it or the success. And I think it's not only just the struggle, but also once you reach a level of success, that brings like a whole other gamut of comments from family and like your mutual support, like with that it's like being able to flip it back on them, because like, if they are not in that world and they don't understand, just like you wouldn't have comments to them about their corporate life with things that it's like you can still have conversation about how things are going, but you don't have to take their advice.
So do you think it's about maybe filtering out your friends and family and actually sort of perhaps in your own mind having some ideas about, well, these are people that I could talk about my self-employed business with. These are people that are definitely off limits and I'm going to create boundaries around that to protect, because it, you know, you don't want to, it's just like, you know, politics and those sorts of things. You get into arguments with people when you talk about certain topics. And if you aren't inviting, you know, their opinion, but they seem determined to deliver it regardless, what would you say is a good way of sort of politely suggesting that it's an off topic conversation and that, you know, you understand that they might have opinions about your business, but actually you'd rather that they didn't share them with you because you're not inviting their opinion, but you don't want to fall out about it. So what would you suggest?
Yeah, I think that actually is a great response if things get drastic. Usually it has like an escalating thing that you can turn when they first say that. It's like, oh, how is business? Oh, like it's this and this. And then they kind of start probing and you don't feel comfortable talking about it because you don't feel like it's going to be positive input. But it's like being able to redirect the conversation back to them and always try to do like the redirect. But if they're not listening to that, you can actually say that. It's like, listen, I'm not really comfortable talking about business right now. I'd love to hear like more about you, asking something else. It's just like when someone offers like if you're talking about religion or politics or taxes, like it's all the same, handling it that same way. I think it's like really getting into the mindset of knowing that you're not here to convince them that what you're doing is important and like what you're doing has value. Just like, it's not always the case, but like what they're doing is not trying to convince you either. You'd be like, great, thanks for your opinion.
And I think with families, you might have a family event or a barbecue and, you know, everybody's sitting around and they're all having a great time. People have got beers and stuff. And then it comes around to, you know, how's everything going at work? And people will talk about their own employed role or whatever. And then it's like, well, how are you getting on? And you know, you don't want to be, you know, the person to sort of say, oh, well, let's just scoot straight by. But people seem to think that, especially family members, I think they often feel that they have a God-given right to be able to share their opinion with you. And it's sometimes really hard just to sit and listen. And particularly, I think, if things aren't going so well or you're going through a struggle and, you know, you don't want to seem vulnerable or that it's not particularly successful, because we all have, you know, our own sense of pride where we want to sort of, you know, give our show reel and make it seem like it's going well. And, you know, we don't want to have the pity party there at the barbecue or whatever. But, you know, it's difficult sometimes to detour or to deflect that, particularly when people keep probing. And, you know, there's only so many times you can just sort of say, pass the dip, and where are you going on your holidays?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I do feel like when it comes to that, it's okay to be vulnerable, telling them that it's not working as consistently as you want it to. I know we try and avoid it, and I know sometimes we'll either hype ourselves up or downplay it, but on a regular basis at a family barbecue, knowing that everybody loves you, if everybody's talking about their jobs, chances are not one of them around the table is actually saying something good about their own job.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it?
Like everybody just wants to complain and moan,
right? Like they're complaining anyways. So it's like, if they're complaining that, oh, I'm like overworked, or, oh, I'm not getting paid enough, or it's just been super busy, or it's been too hot, or it's been all of these things, like they too are adding to that. So what you can do is like, so it's like using the example of like pass the dip, is it's not necessarily changing the conversation, but you can make the conversation about them too. So if you don't want to be like, oh, it's not consistent, or it's not this, because you don't feel safe doing that, you can ask them, well, what do you think? Like, if, okay, like we know it's like really hot in the UK right now. So it's like, if it's like really hot, what can, like, what, like, oh, I heard that this wet towel is like a really great example of being able to do this. Or I saw like this thing on Instagram that there's like this like portable air conditioner that you can like clip onto like your shirt and it like blows into your face. It's like, you can help offer them solutions too, but understanding that they're being vulnerable by letting you know that something's wrong with their business, you can be vulnerable by doing that too. And when we feel like we can't be honest with what's actually happening, that's where, I don't say the bad rap comes in, but that's where people can feel hesitation. People can feel lies. People can feel when someone isn't being 100% authentic or true. And so the more honest you are with it, the more support you're actually going to get.
And I think that there's certainly, you know, in a lot of families, there's a little bit of competition and, you know, sibling rivalry sometimes. And, you know, people are sometimes talking about promotions and getting, you know, a pay rise and those sorts of things. So if you are in a self-employed role and, you know, you're perhaps struggling or whatever, that can sometimes be hard to hear because you are in such a different sort of environment and whatever. So I know that that can sometimes be a challenge. But even when you're talking with your friends, and if you're in an environment with other people that have got self-employed businesses, there is always this element of comparisonitis, whether you're doing something similar or not. And I've really noticed that comparisonitis doesn't really bring out the best in people. And it can be quite a sort of catty, backbiting sort of environment. So what would you suggest are some tips to sort of combat that and try to diffuse a situation if you feel that things are escalating and, you know, people are sort of, you know, asking about your income and you're feeling a little bit protective because you're feeling vulnerable and it's not quite where you want it to be. But other people, you know, you always have that friend who's gloating or always seems to be on Instagram doing so well. And you're kind of thinking, oh, my business isn't going quite as well as I'd like it to. How do you navigate those without cutting them off and not socializing with them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good question.
For sure. Yeah. So there's a big difference between comparison and competition. And so when someone's being competitive with you, you don't have to participate. You can let them be in their own power struggle, right? Like they're fighting themselves because they want to be better than, because they probably put their value in success and that's how they get validation. So you don't have to participate in it. It might not feel good because you know what they're trying to do, but you can sit there and be like, I'm really proud of you. Like, congratulations on having all these successes. And you can turn it into a positive thing. And when it comes to like comparison, what we notice with comparison is that's where people, it's like, competition can fuel you to move forward because you want to do better than. Comparison almost holds you back and like stops you. So noticing, again, it's not about, it's like, you can't really help if you're participating in comparison because it's an internal thing. But it's like, if you catch yourself comparing to them, ask yourself why, because there's a form of envy there, which means you want what they have. So it's like, how can I get to where they are? How can I use this part as like a healthy goalpost, a goal setting, not one to beat because I have to prove them wrong, but one that like, I feel like I can be there. And it's okay being vulnerable. I know it's totally easier said than done, but it's okay being vulnerable to tell them that you aren't where you want to be with it, because that does show that there is room for growth and that there is room for improvement. Because here's the thing is, even if they are reaching all of their milestones, they're still not where they want to be either. Because there's always more goals.
And comparison, you know, I say to my kids, comparison is the thief of joy. There's just, you know, stay in your lane, just focus on what you're doing, shine your star. There's, you know, there is enough room for all of us to be successful. I really believe that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And yeah, because yeah. Your success doesn't take away from anybody else's success. And I think that's where the competition comes in, is when we do see someone that's successful, especially in our own industry, we think that that's taking away from the element of ours. And we let that like start self-sabotaging with the inner thoughts of being like, oh man, well, if they're doing it, then what's the point of me doing it? But like, I think the competition in comparison is this great little internal red flag. Like Renee said, it's being able to be like, be curious about what are they doing that you want? Like, you really have to like see it as like, this is where we teach is like the personal responsibility side of it, is they're doing something that you want to do. And how great is it that they're showing you how much you A, want it, or B, that you didn't even know you wanted until somebody had it.
And comparison is the same emotion as jealousy. Mm-hmm. Competitiveness is the same emotion as jealousy, and comparison is the same emotion as envy.
Okay, that's interesting. Because when I see somebody else that's doing really well, and perhaps I'm in that same area, for me, that goes off like a light bulb in my head. Sometimes it does trigger me. But most of the time, I kind of look at it and I think, oh my goodness, they're doing it. That means it's possible. That means
it's possible.
Then maybe I can too. Or why can't I? It's just they're a wee bit further ahead. And they've obviously found some of these keys to unlock in a way that I haven't done that. So what could I learn? You know, not copy exactly, because that would be rude, but what is it that they're doing that I could aspire to or emulate or start, you know, further down the scale? Could I speak to them? Could I ask for some help? Could I just say that, you know, I've really noticed that you're doing so well, and, you know, that would be great. I would love to reach your level. Would you be able to give me some tips or that sort of thing?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's like a positive mindset that takes practice.
That's not hard work to get there.
But what some of you will notice is that mindset can work for people in the industry or not really close acquaintances. But when it comes to like siblings, mm-hmm. and when it comes to getting like that extra love from family and things like that, then that's when it starts to really trigger harder.
Mm. I think there's, you know, particularly with siblings in your family, there's often been that vying of position, whether you're the younger sibling, you're the older one, whether you're in the middle, mm-hmm. whether you feel that you should always be blazing the trail, or whether you're playing catch up. There's, you know, every sibling has a place in the family, and there's always some family dynamic in play.
Yeah. And like our solution for that, and like it's a practice, is that you don't have to participate in that.
Don't play the
game. Can let them fight their own battles with that. But if you, so it's like how you say, like, stay in your own lane. We call it cleaning up your own side of the street.
Yeah.
So when you focus on your side and you clean that side up and you work on your patterns and your behaviors and your triggers and everything else, you're going to just fly on by without any drama, because you don't care about the drama because it's theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it belongs to them. They're projecting something onto you, and it's up to you whether you want to be in receipt
Absolutely.
Of it or to just let it go.
But that behavior is also a reflection of something in you, right? That it's like you're seeing, you're like, oh, I'm seeing how they're doing it. Where am I doing this in my life? Not necessarily in that same situation, but maybe you're doing it in business, and maybe you're doing it with a personal relationship or romantic relationship, that like there's projection, but there's also the mirror. It's like, hey, what? And I'm like, oh, I can see what's happening from their side and why they're doing it. Maybe it's at a competition using the sibling example, but I don't want to be like that. So how can I change a few behaviors? How can I change the conversation? How can I change where the boundaries are to be able to not help play that game and enable that behavior to like have it stop you from playing small?
Yeah, because none of us want to play small. And just going back to the sort of family dynamics, parents as well, we're often always in search of a parental approval, whether it's a mom or a dad that we're wanting to do that. And often, you know, there's a big generational gap. And I think particularly now, you know, where the world has moved on so fast and, you know, technology's overtaken us and, you know, generational gap has become really wide. You know, there used to be something called a job for life where, you know, our parents would start and, you know, 45 years later, they would get their carriage clock and they would finish work and they would just be in one role for the whole of their, you know, their employed life. And that isn't the case anymore. And, you know, in my, just myself, I've had 30 different side hustles, jobs, work, things that I've got experience in, you know, and I'm just in my 50s at the moment and my kids will probably have even more. So for parents, it's quite difficult for them to actually put themselves in our position, particularly if they've always been employed and you're now self-employed, blazing the trail in your family. And so I think there's perhaps a disconnect as well on them actually being able to even understand what it might be like for you to want to be self-employed and why you would want to take all this risk in their opinion. But you're desperately wanting their approval or their rubber stamp, and they might not say those words to you, "I'm so proud of you," or whatever. So how could you handle that, or what would be your suggestions to handle parents that don't give that their approval?
So for us, it's about not making it personal and knowing where they're coming from. So it's like back to the beginning where it's like they're doing it out of love with the fear, but when it comes to like the approval and the acceptance, it's human nature to need to belong. And we look at that and we try to strive for our best. But oftentimes what happens is our parents, that generation, overgeneralized, of course, is it's very, there's like our success is their success. And so they weigh how they did as a parent on what we do. And we're also very conditioned to believe that respect and obedience are the same thing and they're not. And so they have very much learned to, I don't want to say it's about suppressing because it's not, but they've very much learned, or the lifestyle that they've had is going through the, this is my train of thought, but it's like going through, just get it done, just do it, stay at this one job, this is what's going to happen, suppressing the emotions and suppressing the joy. It's like how many mothers stayed in relationships that they didn't want to stay in because there was no point on leaving, or because it meant that they were failures and it was just like the way of life. And it's just these things. And I think that's where a lot of the big disconnect comes in, is in the newer generations, but newer timeframe wise, not necessarily people in generations, is we're putting ourselves first. We're putting happiness first. We're trying to find joy, self-care, mental health. All of these things are super important. And so we're going from job to job, trying to find that, where with them, they stayed in the one job, even if it killed them. And that's where,
yeah, that's a really great observation. Yeah. Things are so different these days, aren't they? Particularly for women, where, you know, in the olden days, I say, you know, dare I say it, you know, people would stay with a partner because it was so frowned upon. It would have been, but there is so much choice, and we're encouraged now to follow our
hearts. They never had permission to do that.
And so like the best thing we can do for them and to like bridge that disconnect is to offer them that permission too. We can tell our mothers, like, go out and enjoy yourselves and I'll be there to support you. You can encourage your mothers or your fathers to like leave the relationship. You can encourage their job, to get their dream job, or even to go back to school. You can encourage them to search for that journey. And like, that's essentially very much what like a midlife crisis is, is they get to a point of a level of awareness where they realize time is almost done. Or it's halfway done. And then it's like, then that's when they start getting the sports car. That's when they start, you know, they get the divorce, they do the crazy hobbies, they travel, they do all of those things. And we look at them being like, what just happened? That was like a flip of a switch. Why are you crazy now? But we don't support them in that, when what they need in that moment is that support, because they're doing what we're doing.
Yeah. I think
they just started it earlier.
Yeah. I think it gets to the point too, that you like outgrow your parents. And I think that like, when you start in this entrepreneurship like journey, that this is like, speed track to personal growth. And then you get to the point where you just realize that you're A, not ever going to get their permission or support or approval, whatever it is that you're looking for. You start to trust yourself enough to start giving that to yourself. And then you kind of outgrow your parental need for them and see them for like the beautiful humans that they are, and that you're your family, but they stop being like your parent Like, you don't need permission to like stay up till midnight from your mom and dad anymore to like do the business. You kind of like embrace this own level of growth and maturity within yourself too, when you can be your own parent and be your own mother that you need. And I think that's like a huge thing that came out of Kindred, was that we all came with like mother issues in there, but how we all were looking for something that was really all within ourselves, and that we can all be our own. We can all be the parents that we need to ourselves. And that this is an incredible gift.
And we go and look for approval and acceptance from them, but there's a part of us that isn't giving them approval or acceptance for who they are, because we want a certain type of love. We want a certain type of affection. We want like some, don't get me wrong, there is like abusive situations where that isn't possible. And there is emotional detachment, but for the most part, a relationship with mother, daughter, mother, child, entrepreneur is like, we sit here feeling like we don't have the acceptance because it's not done in the way that we think it should be done, but we're completely discounting the level of acceptance that they are giving us.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how they know how to do it.
We're doing the exact same thing to them.
You can have an open conversation with them saying, hey, this is what I would like more of. But overall, it's understanding that like they need the acceptance of who they are and how they show love too.
And I think it's, you know, that a whole aha moment of realizing that we are our own gatekeepers, and they are a gatekeeper themselves. And, you know, we decide exactly what's brought on. Gosh, this is such a juicy topic. I've been really excited to explore it with you. Thank you. Thank you so much. So Megan, thanks for sharing with us, and you, Renee. If our listeners would like to find out more about you and to connect, where's the best place for them to find you?
Yeah, all of our information is on our website at kindredsec.ca, and social media. We're on Instagram and on Facebook with Kindred, with Renee and Megan.
Thank you. I will put a link to that in the show notes, and also to our previous episode, because I'm sure people will want to hear about your journey as well. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you. So that's a wrap for this week's episode of Earn More, Stress Less. Thank you for listening. Be sure to check out the show notes. Do please hit subscribe so we can connect again next week, and have a wonderful week ahead. Let's catch up soon. Thanks for listening to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. If you've enjoyed this week's episode, then do hit subscribe so we can catch up again soon. And please kindly leave a review if you've got a moment, and share with anyone else that you think this podcast could help on their self-employed journey. If you're ready to make bigger breakthroughs in your business life and want to get way more organized and understand your finances the really simple way, then start your very own 14-day free trial today using the super powerful software tool Pocket PA that I made for my own son and daughter. Go to pocketpa.com/podcast, and let's get you on the way to earning more money and stressing much less. Have a great week, whatever you're doing.